Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11, please, for those who just came in. Can we knock the wall down, Pam?
Don't give her any ideas. She gets enough on her own.
We're working on it.
See what I
think? During the hippie movement, one of the signs, the hand sign, was very famous. What was that? Peace. All right. Peace. Huh?
There's another one.
Yeah, there's no. I'm talking about good one, not birdie. Okay, and there's another couple other signs that you guys might be aware of. This one, with a thumb sticking out and two fingers each side. What is that? Hang loose. It's Hawaiian. Use that quite often. Hang loose. How about this one?
Texas
Longhorns. Is that what it is? No. This is a typical thing that hot metal people use. This is their idea of their worshiping devil. Index. Hello. Is that right? I hope everything is okay. Anyway, just for your information. Now, who started this V?
Nixon.
All right, Nixon. That's one. Okay, who? Jimi Hendrix. Who else? You guys, John Lennon. Okay, who else? Yeah, long life and who? Huh? Who started this originally? You guys are all spluttering your high school history class? Jesus. Truman. All right.
Are you going to tell us?
If you come up with that answer, I'll give you the CD.
JFK.
All right. Who else? No one?
Right there.
Okay, nobody got it. Winston Churchill. 1940s. During World War II, when the V rocket from the German flew across the channel and hitting the London every night, people had to run for the shelter every night, and their life was hanging on the limb. This Winston Churchill, known as the Bulldog of Great Britain, convinced British people they will win. Actually, this is not a V, the peace sign. This is a victory. He kept the other two fingers with the stubbed, cigars, that famous cigar, and his stubbed two fingers sticking out in the air. Going like this to the people. And this gave them hope. We will win. In spite of all that garbage that is falling from the air. Now, this is Nehemiah, in my opinion, he's like a Winston Churchill. In spite of all this garbage falling and all this, the wall broken down and the gates been burned, he encouraged people. That's a true leader. True leader is the one who will be in the middle of it and encourage people and show them the direction, show them hope. True leader is not the one who tell the people, go, and they sit back and that's, we have a special name for that, armchair commando. They are not a real leader. The real leader goes before them, lead people. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence again and asking you, guide us. Jesus is our leader. He told us, if you want to be the follower of mine, pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't tell us to go to the cross and deny ourselves while he's not doing anything like that. He went through all that problem, all the trials for us, and he is telling us to follow him. Let your word be spoken to us. And let us hear from you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. He came from the kingdom of the Persia under the command of the king Artaxerxes. He came to this place in Jerusalem where everything is burned down, and a few refugees came back, former captives came back to the Jerusalem, and they're living in the ruins. There, he could do something special for himself. He could have a conference, press conference, or he could have a guided tour. He could talk with the officials, but he didn't meet anyone special, any officials of Jerusalem. While he was there keeping himself very low profile, he met somebody very special. Guess whom he met? God. For 3 days, we can see that he was praying, obviously, because this man is a man of God. Within the context, we find that he's a man of God. And he's been seeking him for 3 days. He was meeting someone who can actually build the wall and to guide him to the right way. So he was keeping the silence and he was keeping the solitude with God, as Jesus often did. You might want to jot it down somewhere. He kept silence and he kept solitude with God. This is the word I'm going to repeat it several times throughout tonight. Tonight's study title, I named it as Tough as the Rhinoceros and Gentle as a Deer. Sounds oxymoron, but it is important for us to understand why it is happening. God bless you. Verse 12. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me, I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me, except one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate at the serpent well and refuse gate. And some of your version, if you have an NIV, you would say dung gate, which is right translation. And view the wall of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with the fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, and there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by a valley gate, and so returned. Then the official did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, priests, nobles, and officials, and the other who did the work. Nehemiah came from the north side of the Jerusalem. Of course, Persia is located on the north side, so it is natural for him to come through the north gate. He has not seen the south gate or east gate or west gate. So he took time for 3 days seeking God's face, and now he's actually looking around. In the scripture, great leaders took time to be alone with God. This is rather uncommon for the people nowadays. How many of you guys are running around like a chicken head cut off, and you feel that way? And you like to have about extra 12 hours per day? If you don't feel that way, you talk to me. I'd like to know how you manage your time, because I'd like to learn. Huh?
I said I get enough trouble with the hours I got now. I don't need to know.
Okay. But I'd like to have about extra 12 hours per day. Probably I would end that thing more things. These people, great leaders in the Bible, they took time. They spent time with God. Let's make a few examples. Number one, I would select this Moses. Moses, when he was raised in the palace of Egyptian royal people, and he knew that he was Hebrew descendant. And for 40 years, he was waiting to show up that he is the leader of the Hebrew people. He thought he was somebody until he realized he was nobody, because he couldn't even hide one dead Egyptian. When he killed the Egyptian with his own strength, tried to bury him under the sand, he couldn't even bury that guy. Next day, everybody found out he killed the Egyptian. So he ran, as you guys know, and he stuck inside of this wilderness for how long? 40 years. And then he realized maybe he's not nobody. And God used that nobody who thought he was somebody 40 years ago, and he made him to somebody. For 40 years, he had a solitude with God. He talked with God. He realized he was nothing. He humbled himself. When he humbled himself, then God chose to use him. Second person I'd like to bring him up is Elijah. We're not going to go through the entire book of Elijah. We don't have time tonight, of course. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. James 5, stick your finger in the Nehemiah, or put your hand there, whatever. Go to the James. James is right before 1 Peter. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. 17. Elijah was the man with a nature like ours. Nature like ours, that means he was the same kinds of people like us. It's not anyone special. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And when he prayed again, the heaven gave him rain, the earth produced the fruit. Unless he had a solitude with a God, he couldn't do such a thing like this. Remember, he went into the cave. For a long time, he was in the solitude. When you have a chance to read the First King, you will know that he spent the time alone with God. And then when he came out from there, he went to Mount Carmel. And he had a duel against the 850 priests of Baal. Killed them all. And then he went to the cave. And after the series of events, he went to the cave, and again he was praying to God. He prayed for the rain, and it came. Unless we have a solitude with God, we don't get to know God's heart. Let's make another example. Paul, the apostle. Paul, in my opinion, he is literally second in command. More than Peter, more than Apostle John, more than James, the brother, half-brother of Jesus Christ. He wrote the most epistles, most of the books of the New Testament, than anyone else. And he didn't just jump into the ministry right away. Actually, he, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, you might want to jot it down and look at it later, Galatians 1, 17 and 18, you will find Apostle Paul going somewhere known as the Arabian desert and spending 3 long years without anybody contacting him. Wonder why he did. My guess is it was a lot of profound Bible teachers, I bet he was instructed by Jesus himself, turning him from Pharisee, a hard-hardened heart legalist, to the apostle, the apostle of Jesus Christ. He spent 3 years. Last one, not the least one, of course, our Savior Jesus. How often do we see, if we, any of us remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are 4 gospels, as you know, many times we find Jesus went up to the mountain at night, spent all night praying to who? The Father. after he had a long days of the being the, I would say the nearly harassed by people, teacher, see me this. I need to be healed. Come pray for me. Touch me. All of that thing. If any of the person nowadays think they have a hard time, geez, I bet they just had a hard time more than any one of us can possibly imagine. So he spent all the time, and then he went up to the mountain to spend the time with his father. Solitude and silence. All right, I have a question for you guys. What do you do with the time at your work location or at home when you have a little bit of a sliver of time? What do? Do you crank up, or even in the car? Do you listen to music all the time? Okay, listen to teaching, that's great, nothing wrong with it. Time to time, try this. Time to time, shut everything off, start to talk to God. If you're like me, most likely, if you keep your mouth shut and your mind goes from, okay, I'm going to talk to God, and then I think about, okay, I need to take care of my kid, and then go to the, I should pick up the medicine from the Walgreens, and then go on, and all of a sudden you realize, where was I? So I have a habit of literally vocalizing my prayer to God in the car. I speak out loud. Probably people think I'm speaking on the cell phone. My mouse is moving, they don't hear me, so that's all right. That way I can track what I'm thinking. Spend time with God. And, of course, remember, this is a conversation with God. That means when we pray, we're speaking to Him. But don't shut it off. Don't shut Him off and walk away. How are we going to hear from Him? Meditating the Word of God or reading the Word of God. That's a conversation. We can talk to Him in a prayer. We can listen to Him through the Word of God. I highly recommend set a time aside. If it's once a week, even if it's a half an hour, set a time aside. Talk to Him. You might say, well, with the half an hour, I can do so much. I guarantee you, if I'm going to challenge you, if you spend that half an hour with God, you will hold more because God will bless you. Another thing that I highly recommend is I ask you to have a notepad next to you when you have that time with solitude God. Because once, if you get that good thinking, a good thought comes to your mind from the Lord, write it down. Put the days. When I say journal, it's not a diary. Okay? It's something, whatever you want to write there. Whether your thought or thought comes from Him, write it down. Keeping a journal is an extremely important thing. And when the time is, after time passes, you can see how you're growing. I've been keeping it since 96. It's a precious thing. I don't write every day. Probably I write this every few months, but when I write, I write. It's a really good thing. Keeping journal is very important. And by doing so, you can really put your thought into it, and you can stay in course. I highly recommend that. So what they got to do with the tusks of rhinoceros and the gentle as a deer? Once we start spending time with the God in word, in prayer, guess what? We get strength. You follow me? We get become stronger in the Lord. We get known. We get stronger because we get spiritual muscle. We get to know Him. That means we get to trust Him. That means we can depend on Him. Well, the more we depend on Him, guess what? The stronger we get. We can take the criticism. But at the same time, our heart is very gentle. Our hearts are very sensitive. One thing I learned from my mentor, who is Pastor Chuck Kelly of Bullhead City, some of you guys met, he told me, don't try to please your congregation. So I said, cool, okay, I won't. But he said, please God. He told him, you will never be able to please your congregation. Once you try that, you will fall. But if I please God, naturally, people will follow. So it is my intention not to please you guys, but I will please God. Last Sunday, if I tried to please you guys, I wouldn't teach what I taught. Do you agree? I don't think I pleased a whole lot of people there. Because I believe I spoke just about everybody's toe, including myself. And if you don't, you don't care. Because I have an obligation from God to speak the truth. So, when you stay in the ministry, you will know that somebody will criticize you. I'm not a prophet, but this is a guarantee. Somebody will criticize you. Be too sensitive. How are we not going to be sensitive? By spending time with God in solitude. Try this sometime this week. Christ about 15, 20 minutes. Try it. You'll love it. Like give him Nike and let him have it and he'll like it. Or like a doctor would say, take a two of that and call me in the morning. You'll like it. I do it time to time. And time to time, I literally go for an hour or two. I spend time. Last time, several years ago, I took a trip to the Sierra Vista about a day journey with a friend of mine. Not speaking to each other, just sitting, being each other's accountable, but at the same time, we kept silent, talk to God. It's a wonderful time. Let's go back, verse 17. Then I said to them, I see the distress they are in, how Jerusalem lay waste, and its gates are burned with the fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be reproached. Winston Churchill's first statement to the House of Commons as a prime minister was, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, sweat. This is pretty much what Nehemiah is speaking to them. He cannot promise anything, but he is completely committed himself in the task of rebuilding the wall. If you notice that three times Nehemiah identifying himself as we and us, it is important for us to know that we are in the part. All we are in the middle of a congregation. We are not special. Guess which letter shows up between in the word sin, between S and N. Which word shows up? Which letter? I. If you are insisting I, mine, myself, we are in trouble. If I do that, we are in trouble. It's all together we. Working together for one goal, to glorify God. There's no such a thing as I. Pastors tend, especially Calvary Chapel, has vulnerability for that kind of thing. Because Calvary Chapel, as you guys know, government system is more like, pastor is a leader and the rest of them is in the kinds of pyramid style. When the pastor become famous, they tend to fade one particular furniture in his own palace. It's named mirror. He look at himself too much in a spiritual mirror and say, "Ooh, aren't you pretty?" When he starts doing that, he is heading for fall. I hope I never come to that point. But it is common for all of us to start to looking in ourselves spiritual mirror. Boy, I'm so spiritual to compare all those slimes. When we start to think that we are in football. And if you notice this, they are keeping himself as resting together. Verse 18, now he's pointing people to God. And I told them of the hands of my God which had been good upon me and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So he said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. And I never forgot where the great work comes from. He gave credit to God. Let's go to James one more time. Chapter 1, James. Chapter 1, verse 17. Some of you guys know this by heart. 1:17 of James. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of the light, and there is no variation or the shadow of the turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So if you have a special talent from to sing or to lead people or whatever, remember, it's from the Lord. Make sure you give glory to God. Let's go to verse 19. Now, of course, if we start to work for God, guess what happens? Enemy. Enemy comes with what? Criticism. There's a story. Some of you guys heard this before, it's good to repeat this thing. This is a parable, I guess. Satan was displaying his arsenal to his demons and showing off all the arsenal he has. Showing off the sword of lust, sword, spear of pride, javelin of this, some hammer of this, sickle of this. And way end of the arsenal lineup, it's a look like old wooden club that got beat up, but it's most decorated, it's sitting on the most decorated display thing. So all these demons are looking at their master's arsenal, and the ooh and ah and all of that. And they went to the end of the table, and they looked at this particular wooden club, and said, it's like, how come this thing doesn't look pretty, but you display most honorably? Satan smiled devilishly, literally, and he said, well, that's a weapon of discouragement. When I cannot destroy the man and woman of God, I use this. The best part of this weapon is that most people don't know it's from me. Discouragement. Man and woman of God, power will stand up strong against the lust problem or pride. But if Satan can stick the discouragement in your heart, from that it's so easy to stick anything else in. Especially for the leaders, this one comes in often. How do I know? I go through. I try not to. That's one of the reasons why I ask you guys to tell me about how many people we have in the Sunday morning or Tuesday night. I don't need to know. Either it's good for my discouragement or it's good for my ego. I need neither one of them. So, discouragement and disillusion and criticism are deadly for any leaders. Verse 19. But when the Sambalot and Horonite and Tobiah, Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against kings? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servant, will arise and build, and you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. When criticism comes, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm reminding myself, do not defend yourself. Let God handle it. Nehemiah was misunderstood. He was harassed. He was wrongfully accused. But he did not defend. He said, do your thing. I'm going to do what God is telling me to do. He kept his eyes on Jesus, on God. See, criticism will come no matter what. Whether you like it or not, once we start to follow God. It is given. If you don't get criticized while you're serving God, maybe you better check where your heart is and how you're pleasing people. Remember what I said. Don't try to please people. Please God. And God will honor us. Let's make a few applications. Number one, we have to wait God's call and God's time. We have to wait for God's call and God's time. If we try, have you ever done that before? You try to do something before God and fall flat on your face? I'm sure if you're like me, you've done a few times and screwed the whole problem, the whole thing, and caused the problem. We have to wait for God's call and God's time. There's a thing said among the Calvary pastors. Listen carefully. While we strive to obtain, we have to strive to maintain. Let me repeat it. While we strive to obtain, we have to strive to maintain. In other words, if we got that, whatever that is, in our own fleshly effort, we have to use a fleshly effort to maintain it. If it's by God, it comes divinely. We don't have to make effort, and it will be so easy. Let me put it this way, with our example. Some of my pastor friends ask me, how you handle three jobs? Work 40 hours full-time and do a side job and two service in a week. I said, easy, because I have wonderful people. It's not because of you. God provides you guys to help me, to work with me. So all I have to do is just study. And the rest of them, some of you guys beg me to give them work. So I was like, cool, I'll give you work. And I trust you guys to get the job done. And I like it that way. Then it's not become mine and it's my project. It become our project. Remember this, please. While we strive to obtain, we have to strive to maintain. That's not God. If it's God, it will come very easily. And He will provide us our strength to do the job and wisdom to do the job. Second application. Once we get a call from God, we need to stay on the track for the goal He designated for us. Distraction will come, disillusion will come, and attack from enemy within, without. Remember Sunday morning I told you about there is a spy we have inside in our heart, which is a flesh. So we have an enemy within, enemy without. Don't get distracted. Stay at it. Third application. Let's take criticism with a grace. Take a criticism with a grace. Consider a source, please. When somebody criticizes you, we must have an open mind. Sometimes that criticism is right. We need to hear it. And when it's, and most of all, we need to put it against the Word of God. And when it's a bad criticism, it's not constructive, just consider a source. Most likely it came from the wrong place. Fourth application. We must depend on God's strength and God's guidance, not our own defensive ability. If you try to defend yourself, if I try to defend myself, we will fall flat on our face. We will just make more trouble. Pastor Chuck made this example. You know, time to time that a pastor become real defensive with what he's doing and causing more problem and more problem. And one of the staff or the leader and start doing their own Bible study, and Bible study become real increasing and doing well. And of course that pastor becomes jealous and start to fight, do the tough fight. You might think that, oh no, not the Calvary pastors. Trust me, I've seen enough of the tough fight within Calvary pastors. It's not even funny. It's almost like, these are the pastors? Yeah, they are pastors. It's funny. I hope I never get into that kind of thing. If I do that, please do me a favor, shoot me. Anyway, huh? Do that. Do that. You have my blessing. Tough fight. This is God's people. It's not my sheep. It's God's people. Go with God. Who cares? We need to depend on God's strength. Let's not defend our own. If we do, we will make a mess. Okay? Any questions?